From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Glad to have you along. Well, coming up today, did the media catch the Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley saying something controversial to pastors? Well, we'll ask him about it when he joins us in just a moment. And a new poll conducted by McLaughlin and Associates gauges self-described conservatives' attitudes toward Facebook and other social media companies. Now, the findings should put a sad face on Facebook and Twitter. The Media Research Center released the poll. Dan Gaynor of MRC will be here to tell us all about it. Also, Ivy League Brown University censored its own study on gender dysphoria, which was published in a peer-reviewed science journal. In defending the action, a university dean wrote that the findings, quote, might invalidate the perspectives of members of the transgender community, end quote. What about academic freedom or scholarly debate? We'll talk about that with FRC's Peter Sprigg. We'll also be taking your phone calls later here on Washington Watch, so get ready. Coming up September the 21st through the 23rd, the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. This is the gathering of social conservatives. In fact, folks all across the country will be there, and they are lining up. We have, we're seeing excitement, totally opposite what you're hearing in the media. In fact, it's filling up very quickly, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll save you a seat, but you got to register soon. So go to TonyPerkins.com. In fact, do that right now. Register for this year's Values Voter Summit. And while you're on the website, TonyPerkins.com, be sure and go to the follow the links over to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. You're going to need it for the Value Voter Summit, but it has so much more use. It will be the latest and greatest when it comes to activist tools in your toolkit. That's the Stand Firm app. Okay, during a recent pastor's briefing in, I believe in St. Louis, actually, it was an FRC, a Family Research Council Watchman on the Wall event, where we gather pastors at these regional briefings around the country. And in a response to a question from someone who was there, the Missouri Attorney General, Josh Hawley, expressed his support for the repealing of a provision in the federal tax code known as the Johnson Amendment. Now, this is, you know, the president campaigned on this, okay? There has been a campaign, which I served as the honorary chair for the last several years, called Pulpit Freedom Sunday, where pastors across the nation are preaching messages regarding political issues that the IRS may deem political, challenging them to take away their tax exemption. Well, Josh was asked about this, and this is what he had to say. Listen.
We used to have a challenge, the IRS, we'd issue every year. We say, listen, why don't you go ahead and fine a pastor for preaching his convictions from the pulpit? Why don't you go ahead and do it? Just try it, and we'll take the case. Now, they never take us up on it. You know, the IRS blusters, and they threaten, and they say that they would never actually do it because it's unconstitutional. It is just absolutely unconstitutional to try and tell pastors or ministers of the gospel of whatever kind what they can or cannot say from the pulpit.
Now, that was a record. We don't record these events. Someone recorded it, released it to the press. The press and the left is acting like they caught him whispering secret plans behind closed doors to these pastors. Well, was this such a controversial statement, or is this really mainstream? Joining me now is the Attorney General himself, Josh Hawley. Josh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
So they caught you defending the Constitution.
That's right. They sure did. They sure did. And I will, in every place, in every forum, I've given the opportunity, Tony. I mean, the Johnson Amendment is an attempt to silence pastors and silence churches from preaching and living their convictions. It is unconstitutional. I've said that for years, and I have not changed my mind. And I would challenge Senator Claire McCaskill, who is the current senior senator from the state of Missouri. I would challenge her to start standing up for churches and come out and oppose this amendment and actually stand up for the religious liberty of our people.
Well, let me just go on record right here. She's welcome to come on and tell the folks of Missouri where she stands on this. Should pastors be free to speak from the pulpit on the issues of the day and engage in our political process, or does she believe that they should be gagged, that they should not have the freedom to speak? I mean, she's welcome to come in and speak for herself on this. You have been very clear on this. This is not something that you just came up with the other day. You've been speaking this all across the state of Missouri. You've been defending the rights of pastors to speak. And how are they responding to that?
Well, you know, pastors know and churches know. I mean, believers know that our religious liberties are on the line, and they want to have their constitutional rights, the rights that the First Amendment gives to every church and every pastor, the right to speak freely, to preach their convictions freely. And, Tony, you're exactly right. I mean, this has been what I have done with my career as an attorney. I've been attorney general since 2016, but before that I was a religious liberty lawyer, a constitutional lawyer. And these are the fights that I have been fighting, and I'm going to go on fighting them for the people of my state.
Now, Attorney General Hawley, while you've actually had, I think, the Missouri Baptist Convention has spoken out on your behalf, and the characterization that the media has had in essentially saying pastors shouldn't be free to speak to the issues, that they should be silenced, the media, I don't know, they literally believe that, from what I read and from what they say and the way they characterize this, they really do not think that pastors should have a voice in this process.
Oh, that's exactly right. And they've made that in my state. They've made that very clear. I mean, around the country, too, I think. But, you know, we had the largest liberal, most liberal newspaper in the state just inveigh against me, say that this was what I was proposing was violating the separation of church and state. I mean, look, the separation of church and state, I mean, that phrase, of course, doesn't appear anywhere in the United States Constitution. But what the First Amendment does say, there is a separation, you bet. And the separation is government cannot right. tell churches how to run their church, and they cannot tell them what to preach. So if anything, the Johnson Amendment blatantly violates the true constitutional rights and separation that the First Amendment gives to our churches and our pastors.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If there is this, this metaphorical separation of church and state that they talk about, that it has been crossed. That line has been breached. But it wasn't the church. It was the state that is meddling right. in the business of the church. And, you know, the president, as a candidate, this is one of the first issues he latched on to. Was the Johnson Amendment. It goes back to 1954, I believe it was, when Lyndon B. Johnson slipped this into a tax bill to silence nonprofits and keep them out of the process. Of course, it's grown over the years in terms of its impact and effect to where now, not even beyond the government, the left uses it to intimidate churches into silence. And I would argue that this is a part of the moral decline that has taken place in our country is that there is not a more robust discussion about these issues. And I'm not talking about just candidates. It's been taken beyond candidates to talk about issues that have been deemed political. And I think if we're going to restore the country, this is a part of it.
You know, I agree with you 100%. And I would just also say, I think this is part of what you see from the professional political class in our country, unfortunately. There's real condescension here towards people of faith. And they think that, you know, the people of faith are backwards, they're foolish, they're ignorant, they're uninformed, and they don't care to hear what we have to say, and they're fine with silencing the speech of pastors and religious believers. But you know what? The Constitution isn't fine with it, and that's where we take our stand, and that's why religious liberty needs a defense.
In the wake of this always tickles me. Because I see this quite frequently. I mean, I get this even on this program, the Right Wing Watch. I mean, they shadow me and they take clips of what I say, and they put it on their website. And in fact, I actually use the clips because it makes it easier for me to find it. And they think that I'm ashamed of what I said, or I don't want people to hear it. I'm grateful that they're helping broadcast what I'm saying. And so I all those folks that are hearing this via Right Wing Watch, I welcome you to hear it firsthand here all the time. But it's the same thing here. This is a message that you've been delivering across Missouri for years, and the media thinks they caught you saying something that you don't want people to know.
It just shows you how out of touch they are, Tony, with the voters of this state, with the citizens, the people of Missouri, and I think with the great heartland of our country. And I'm not just talking about the geographic heartland. I'm talking about the true center of our country. I mean, Americans, by the way, whatever faith background, most Americans don't think that pastors and churches ought to be silenced, that houses of worship ought to be told to stay quiet. They don't think that. They say, no, let them preach what they believe. Let them live out what they believe. They know, most people know, that there's been no greater force for good in our country's history than in the preaching and activism and speech of Christians and religious believers in this country. And the media, they just don't get it. I mean, they're totally out of touch, and they don't understand where the heart of this country really is.
Yeah, General Hawley, what I have found to be the case is that those that are most concerned about this in terms of they're afraid of what churches may be saying or what pastors may be saying, I should say, are ones who actually rarely, if ever, go to church. They really don't know how this actually operates. And I've said this to pastors before. Pastors underestimate their influence, and those on the outside overestimate their influence. Most pastors do not speak on a regular basis about these issues. In fact, we've seen poll after poll that say the congregants wish their pastors would speak to these issues more often. But if we're going to address the great issues of our day, that, again, have been deemed political, for instance, the issue of abortion or the redefinition of marriage, those were moral and spiritual issues long before they were political issues, but they've been changed or taken over by the political class, and pastors are told not to touch those. You can't be faithful to the gospel and preach the full, complete word of God and ignore those issues.
And, you know, no pastor and no church should be asked to abandon their most deeply held beliefs, should be asked to abandon biblical truth in order to stay open and in order to be able to preach. And our founders made this choice, Tony, and we as a people have made this choice. We have said that we want to protect the right of pastors and churches to preach and to live their faith. That's what makes our country what it is. I mean, that's what makes our country the pluralistic place that it is. I mean, with true diversity of opinion across different traditions and faith, that's great. That's wonderful. But you know what makes that possible? The protection for pastors and churches to preach and follow those beliefs. And it's under threat today. And if you don't think it's under threat, just look at the reaction to those of us who are standing up and saying, no, the IRS should not be discriminating against churches.
Exactly. That is so well said. Attorney General Josh Hawley, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for not backing down in your defense of the Constitution and the freedom of all Americans, including pastors, to speak freely.
Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, Josh Hawley. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. By the way, just as a notation, the Washington Watch, you know, the Family Research Council, endorses or opposes candidates for office. We're talking about news items here. And again, I extend an invitation to Claire McCaskill to come on, who's raised issues about this, and see where she stands on the Johnson Amendment. All right, when we come back, a new poll should put a sad face on Facebook. Conservatives, not happy. When we come back, MRC joins us.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, let me remind you, coming up, Values Voter Summit, September 21st through the 23rd. Great, great event. Find out more, go to tonyperkins.com. Okay, according to a new poll, one-third, that's 32% of self-described conservative Facebook users, have either left or are considered leaving Facebook due to political censorship. Now, this was released by the Media Research Center. It was conducted by McLaughlin and Associates. The poll measures the attitudes of conservatives toward Facebook and other social media platforms. And with us now to talk about this is Dan Gaynor with the Media Research Center, where he is the Vice President for Business and Culture. Dan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back, and this is the number one issue facing conservatives, and they need to understand it, so I'm glad to be here to talk about it.
Well, it doesn't look like there's any ambiguity here on where conservatives stand, and one of the questions, do you believe social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, are purposely censoring conservatives and conservative ideas from their sites? 64% say yes. Another question, do you trust Facebook to treat all of its users equally regardless of their political beliefs? 66.1% say no. Pretty clear, conservatives don't trust social media.
Well, and yes, and that first one too, that it's not just a yes, it's 10.8% said no. So that means
right.
conservatives
not close.
Are very convinced one way here, and with good reason. No matter which one of these sites you're using, you're running into problems. And we run into the problems sort of in a macro, institutional way, where these organizations, some of them will deal with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Google will work with Wikipedia, for goodness sake, which is not trustworthy. They'll have a Trust and Safety Council, if it's Twitter, that's overwhelmingly liberal and has organizations like GLAAD on it. They'll use algorithms that we don't trust, and they'll use hate speech policies that are so complex and overwritten that you could basically ban almost anything. And that's on the macro level. And then on the micro level, you run into the issue of just employees. Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, both have confessed that they have liberal staffs. Both right. Google and Facebook have experienced internal problems where people complaining about the culture in their organizations. And those are the people, when you go and file a complaint, when you report a post, when you get reported, those are the people you're going to work with. So when Dana Loesch had someone wish that her children were killed the other day on Twitter, and she was told it didn't violate terms of service, that's
right.
the problem she was running into.
Yeah, we actually had her on yesterday talking about that. And this distrust, discontent with social media, this poll suggests it's growing.
It is. And, you know, when the organizations start banning people, when you feel that you're not getting an even shake, look, obviously the elephant in the room, we got to talk about Alex Jones. Alex Jones is, Brett would say, isn't conservative, and obviously has said a lot of crazy and hateful things. But there are a lot of other people on social media platforms who have said crazy and hateful things who still have big audiences. It's not coincidental that Alex Jones was kicked off these platforms, deplatformed in the fun terminology, just a couple months before a midterm election.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. I mean, I think that there's a lot of crazy things out there on these social media platforms, and you know, I think the line should be drawn when people are advocating violence. You know, like we saw with Dana Loesch, where people are saying, "Hey, your kids should be murdered." I mean, clearly that crosses any type of line of civility. But I will defend the right of people that I vehemently disagree with when it comes to their positions, their policies, their ideological worldview. I'll defend their right to speak. I'm comfortable in having these discussions, but what we're seeing is the left is not. And so therefore they want to basically eliminate any competing voices.
Yeah, and they're doing so, and they're doing so in a matter of speaking around the world in different ways, sometimes with laws. And people are saying, well, we need government regulation. Can you imagine the government regulations of hate speech?
Yeah.
For all that Facebook and Twitter's policies are bad, whatever a government regulating organization would come up with, you're not allowed to say this on social media because it's hate. Sorry, you've been banned from the internet. No, I don't want to see that.
Right. Dan Gaynor, this issue would be more troubling, I think, to the social media world, these CEOs. I mean, if you think about it, if you have a customer base and they're saying, I'm not happy, I don't trust the people I'm doing business with, in a normal setting, that would make them extremely responsive. But when you have like a monopoly and there's no other place for people to go, they don't seem to be too concerned.
Well, I will say all the top companies have, since our report came out in April, all the top companies have started at least talking to the conservative movement, Twitter.
They have been. I mean, I've had some of those meetings myself, but I haven't seen anything come from it.
Well, and so that's the question. Are we committing acts of process, or are we moving somewhere? And we're trying to move them somewhere. And if we get somewhere, that's great. But if we don't, you know, ultimately, yes, then they'll run into regulators. They'll run into people on Capitol Hill who will change things. Maybe the simplest thing that will happen is they will simply lose their protection against litigation.
Yeah, or what about, we're out of time here, but what about competition? Is this opening the door to competition?
Well, I mean, it's hard. You look at Gabby, what they're trying to do against Twitter. It takes billions of dollars to start something, and not too many nations have billions of dollars they can throw around starting new social media.
Yeah, true. Dan Gaynor, thanks so much for joining us. Very, very interesting survey. And in fact, folks, if you want to see it, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over to MRC, Media Research Center. Great folks, good friends, do great work. All right, when we come back, speaking of censorship, Brown University censoring itself over a peer-reviewed study because some people didn't like it. We're going to talk with Peter Sprigg, the Family Research Council, next.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, Brown University, Ivy League schools, recently removed an article from its website about a peer-reviewed study that was in a peer-reviewed journal on transgender youth. Now, what the study actually found, I think it was like 256 different interviews with parents, they found that social media and friends can influence teenagers to change their gender identity. Peer pressure, I mean, it's nothing new. Well, the university removed the study 5 days after it was published, not because they found any academic flaws in it or any issues with the methodology, but there were community complaints that the research was transphobic. Joining us now is Peter Spriggs, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies here at the Family Research Council. Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch. Peter, you with us?
I'm here.
All right, Peter. This is a trend we're seeing where these academic studies, while done, a peer-reviewed journal, just because people don't like the outcome, they're attacked.
Yes, it's very disturbing. It's disturbing in terms of the academic community and the idea of academic freedom and a free exchange of ideas. But the reason in this case is because this journal article actually presented some disturbing information about what's going on among young people who are requesting gender transition services.
Okay, so what did the study find?
Well, this study examined a phenomenon that has been called or referred to as rapid onset gender dysphoria. And this is something that has emerged or just been identified within the last few years that's very different from the way that most transgender youth experience gender dysphoria. With most transgender youth, there is evidence of gender nonconforming behavior or gender dysphoria in childhood. It's evident early in childhood. There are symptoms early in childhood, and it gradually develops. This involves young people, mostly girls, who after puberty, who are already older teens or young adults, who very suddenly present themselves as saying that they want to transition their gender without having had a history of previous symptoms. And the theory, the concern that a lot of parents have, and this is based on a survey of parents of these adults, adolescents and young adults, as they call them, AYAs, the concern is that they are being influenced, as you said, by the internet and social media and peers, rather than having. A genuine gender dysphoria that dates back to childhood.
And so the opposition here coming from, I guess, in part, the transgender community, suggesting that this study that shows that these young people are being influenced by social media and friends, that somehow that takes away from the argument that this is natural and inborn?
Well, yes. Yes, and it's interesting that the transgender movement has become so radical that essentially their position is that anyone who presents themselves to a medical professional and says, I'm transgender, I want to change my sex, or I want to change, I want gender reassignment surgery, that should just be accepted at face value with no questions asked, and they should be provided what they ask for. And basically what this article is saying is that a number of these people have what are called comorbidities. They have other severe psychological problems. They have a history of trauma, including, in some cases, gender and sexual trauma, and that these things perhaps need to be explored by clinicians, by doctors and therapists, before simply leaping in to doing gender reassignment surgery. And yet, the transgender activists object to that. They object to the idea that any questions should be asked of someone who says that they're transgender.
Well, in defending the university's actions of taking down the study, University Dean wrote that the findings might invalidate the perspectives of members of the transgender community. The dean insisted, however, and I'm quoting from a Fox News story, that it was still committed to academic freedom, noting that all studies should be debated vigorously. How can you have academic freedom and debate these studies vigorously when you basically burn the research like people used to burn books? They don't want the stuff out there.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Brown University is a little bit ashamed of the fact that this study has been associated with their name. Now, of course, the university is not responsible for it. The professor and the journal are responsible for the content of the research. But if they're proud of other research, other significant research that their other professors are doing in other fields, I don't see why they should discriminate against this professor.
All right, Peter Sprigg, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Peter Sprigg. To find out more about Peter, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over. You also, I think we may have a link up to this article. This is disturbing. This is not the first time. We've seen this before on any academic research that challenges the whole issue of homosexuality, transgenderism, all of that. All right, when we come back, we're going to be going to the phone lines. I want to take your phone calls. We're going to go back to this issue of social media, whether or not you trust Facebook, Twitter. Are they biased? And if there were alternatives, would you use them? We're going to talk about that next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. This is what we're going to go back to the discussion of social media. And I'll throw this question up, same question that was in the poll. I'm going to add to it. But do you believe social media companies are purposely censoring conservative and conservative ideas from their sites? Do you believe that? All right, we're going to do our own poll here. But then secondly, I want to ask you this. If there were a conservative or a non-biased alternative to Facebook and Twitter and the others, would you switch to those social media platforms? Okay. 866-372-7234, and we're going straight to the phone lines. We're going to John in Tennessee. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good. How you doing, Tony?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Oh, man, if it get any better, I wouldn't be able to stand it.
All right.
I tell you, you got to look at the guys and where they're from and their mindset and the kind of homes they was raised in that are running these companies, Google and Facebook and all that. They're spoiled kids. They don't have any maturity and understanding, especially anyone that's over 50 years old. It's like another world. They don't understand anything. They just really have been blessed with something. They have no idea what they're doing, because the stuff they're doing, if they were really academic and everything, and they really understood some things, they wouldn't do some of the stuff they're doing. It's crazy.
So, well, let me just ask you. I mean, do you believe that they're censoring conservative ideas?
Absolutely, because it's foreign. See, yeah. I'm 67. And I've been through a lot of different things to come to a conservative, way of thinking as a Christian. And some of those kids, they have no maturity. They don't understand. If I told them my testimony, they would be like I'm from Mars. You know, they are very much out of touch with the blessing they've been given. And they're like Rehoboam. They only ask for get wisdom from people who's in their same circle. They don't go to guys 10, 20 years older than them that are mature, ask them what they think and really be sincere, trying to get a real answer. You know, they're just kids. And And it just
There's no question it's a different world. And, you know, they've grown up in a, you know, in the last 30 years, America has been a very prosperous and it's a totally different nation in terms of the opportunities that have been there. Let me ask you this. If there were a conservative alternative, would you use it?
No doubt. Quickly. And I tell you, it's a funny thing because I remember when Jay Leno asked the question to this kid, when do you think America started? He said, 1986. I'm like, what? You know, this is the mentality. They have no clue with the country they're in, how it was formed, and no kind of civics understanding. They are totally clueless.
Well, and that's, yeah, that's, and that's very true. You look at some of the research that's done on Ivy League campuses in particular about America, its history, civics, and it your claims are validated, John. Just put it that way. John, thanks so much for listening and calling in. Unfortunately, we don't teach that stuff in our schools. That's why parents need to make sure your kids are getting it. Make them tune into Washington Watch. 866-372-7234. If there were a conservative alternative or a non-bias alternative to Facebook and Twitter, would you switch and use those media platforms? Let me know. All right, let's go to Nebraska where Lonnie is on the line. Lonnie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony.
How are you today?
I'm doing really good. You know, and I watched Zuckerberg when he was on being questioned, you know, and you could see the bias in him, you know. You could just see it. I mean, he reeked it all over. And I called Facebook to Facebook. Is what I call them, because of their bias, you know. They're two-faced, all right. And Zuckerberg is, I tell you, I wish they would do something about that. I really do. I wish they would do something about the way he is and the arrogance that he has. And you know, he's building a big old warehouse out here in Nebraska, too, you know.
Mm-hmm. They have acknowledged the fact that, you know, most of their people come from the Silicon Valley. They have, left-leaning worldviews. So they're acknowledging that. The question is, what are they going to do about it?
To allow
a fair exchange of ideas. So, Lonnie, if there were an alternative to these other social media platforms, would you take it?
Well, actually, I don't get on Facebook myself. I'm sort of a person that don't socialize too much.
Mm-hmm. And, just listen to talk radio.
Yeah, I do a lot of that. I listen to you every day.
Well, good. Well, keep listening. You know. Keep listening. Get your friends to listen in as well. Lonnie, thanks so much for calling in today. I like to be able to engage other people in ideas, people that don't agree with me, okay? But to have a discussion about those things. My concern is what we're seeing in Twitter and Facebook, I mean, all of the social media platforms, that, you know, this hate speech, they're using that as basically a blanket term to scratch out, blank out, silence anything that's not politically correct, according to the left. You know, words have meaning. And what they do is they're not using definitions. They're very, they're elastic. They can make them mean whatever they want. As I've said before, I think the line in terms of a civil society, when you're going to have a debate, You can't engage in violence. That doesn't work. But just because you hold a view that some people don't like or disagree with or even may be offended by doesn't mean that you should be silenced. Now, there are historical norms, and it doesn't include talking about things that, you know, like I said, offend somebody or You know, we're talking about, and it all comes down really to human sexuality. If you refuse to agree with the redefinition of marriage and this whole idea that your gender is fluid and can change at any moment, if you don't agree with that and you say something counter to that, it's hate speech. What will it be next? You know, and that's what I would ask those people who are, those folks that are kind of, you know, ambivalent about this. What will it be next? The gospel? The gospel's pretty offensive. All right, let's go to Hugh in Oklahoma City. Hugh, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Hey, I love the show. Tremendous show.
Thank you.
So your question is, do I think that social media is squelching conservative thought? And I do. We've heard plenty of interviews of people that's happened to. I understand it's happened to you, too.
Yes.
I thought you were going to talk about that the other day, and apparently I missed it. And if there was a conservative option, would I use it? I would use it, definitely. But here's the thing. I have many family members that are involved in these social medias, and there is no way that they would go that way. So I'd end up having to be on both.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would hope that if whoever develops something like this, I would hope that they make it, I don't know, to add something to it that is so powerful that it draws people in. And I don't even know what that would be, but that would be a factor I would hope would happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I would really like it to be not so much a conservative platform, but a non-bias platform. Because I want liberals to be there. I want people who disagree with me to be there because, you know, I don't want to just always talk to the choir. I mean, I love coming on this program, but I tell you what thrills me most is actually when we get callers come in who don't agree with me or email me, don't agree with me. But over time, they actually change their views because they've engaged with us. And that's what I believe we should be about, is making our arguments in a respectful but a convincing way that brings people along to see the truth.
Yeah. Winsome. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugh, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. All right. Phones are lighting up here. Let's go to Rob in Arkansas. Rob, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I like your show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I agree with you. It's definitely biased, but I don't agree. I would not use any social media. I'll tell you two reasons. Number one, you're not the consumer. You are the product when you're on social media. So it's pretty funny how Facebook and Google and all of them are so liberal, but they're the most capitalist of everyone. The users are the product, and all your data is being sold all the time. So if you think otherwise, your head is in
true. True. Very true. Rob, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Texas, where Lisa is on the line. Lisa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. You know, you must have ESC because what you just said before this caller was what I was calling in. But I don't want a conservative platform. I want a neutral platform that is not biased so that everyone will be attracted and the best ideas will be shared.
Agree. I don't want to just, you know, be an echo chamber saying, you know, validating. I mean, I want to validate what you believe, but in the process, I want to bring along your neighbor who doesn't necessarily see it the way you have seen it because they've never been exposed to these ideas because they're not taught
exactly.
In our schools. You're not hearing them in the media. So, yes, I think social media needs to be a place where we can engage in a vigorous First Amendment experiment, meaning that we can use our First Amendment in a respectful way, a civil way, but in a way that does bring people along and unifies us. See, I think debate is very, very healthy. I've seen it in the legislative process, and I know that's a microcosm, but when you look at what debate does. You have debate. You have both sides. They come together. They give it their best shot. And then in the end, you come out with a product that is the result of that debate. It's not the same as when it started. But in the process, it's changed based upon the debate and the minds that are changed and the positions that are moved. And society at a broader context is the same way. When we have that discussion, that debate, it results in something that everybody can live with. But when you short-circuit it and you shut people down, that's when you begin to create real conflict that can be dangerous.
Exactly. Or you criticize the person and not their perspective or their point of view.
Exactly. And you know, by the way, in the legislative process, there are rules in which you can't do that. You can't engage in attacks on the character of the person. It has to be focused on the issue. And if you do, you can be called out for that and even be censored for that. And I think that's the same way in the debate over issues. You can take a counter position that someone disagrees with, but just because you disagree on the substance of a matter, you can't claim I'm offended by that, therefore that person has no right to speak.
I think that this generation, due to our public school system, has not been taught logic, have not been taught reasons. They feel everything. They emote. Yeah. They don't think.
That's so true. That is so true. Lisa, thanks so much for listening and calling in. And by the way, that has filtered its way into our public policy process, where laws, and this has been happening for some time, but laws are passed not based upon logic or reason or objective truth, but emotion and feeling. And that's dangerous, and we're seeing it. All right, let's try to work another call here. Let's go to Pete in Missouri. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, long-time listener. I've called in once or twice when Russ was on in your absence. Yes, of course they're biased. And I think they will probably remain biased because the people they're marketing to want that. But secondly, I don't really use social media. I try to have relationships with real people as they really are, not as they paint themselves. And I've tried to encourage my children to not to live in the virtual relationship world, but have real relationships.
What a novel idea, Pete, to have real friends.
Right, with the good and the bad, and you can see their face, and you can hold their hand if need be. And, of course, you stole my thunder already. We don't need a conservative version. We need an objective version, though yeah. I wouldn't be participating if you did.
Well, I understand. I remember when these platforms were Free Speech Alley at the university campus, where everybody got out there and just kind of talked and debated the ideas. Now it's done anonymously almost on Facebook. And I think that's one of the reasons it's become less civil in many ways. Pete, thanks so much for the call. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Great discussion today, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. We're out of time. But do visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. Sign up for Values Voter Summit and download the Stand Firm app, by all means. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, you got it. By all means, stand firm.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.